As we get into the word this morning, we're going to begin with verse 10 of Genesis, the 31st chapter. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, rams in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the rocks were streaked and speckled and gray spotted. And the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. Now the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray and spotted. And I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? For he sold us and also completely consumed our money. For all these riches which God has taken from him, our father, are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. And then Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all of his livestock and all of his possessions that he had gained. And he acquired livestock, which he had gained in Paddan Aram, to go with his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. And now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. And Jacob stole away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, in that he did not tell him that he was intending to flee. And so he fled with all that he had, and he arose across the river, and he headed towards the mountains of Gilgal. Lord, we just ask your blessing on the reading of the word this morning, and we ask that it be a reality to us in the here and now. Lord, I speak deliverance. I thank you that you are releasing strongholds in our life right now. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you, Father, would just allow us to cooperate with whatever the Spirit wants to do in this place this morning. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I did hear something really good this week. I think it was the founder of the Salvation Army, and you can just tattoo this on the fleshly tablets of your heart. He said, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. I mean, that releases all of us. That's a blessing. It doesn't matter how bad you have been, God still has a future for you. And never get pious or self-righteous, because every single one of us have a past that God's helped us to overcome. Now, in the text this morning, we understand that Jacob had gotten the green light to leave his father-in-law, Laban, which was a thief that changed his wages multiple times, lied to him time and time again. And God, regardless of what Laban did to Jacob, Jacob still prospered in the middle of it. So that just says this. You can't, now we realize people do bad things, but we can't blame our situation on others, because we do still have a God that can do for us regardless if other people are not. So he goes and he takes off, and what does Rachel do? Rachel steals her father's idols. And in fact, a few verses later, you're going to find out that Laban finds out that not only had Jacob and his daughters left, unbeknownst to him, but he was looking for his stuff, and he found out that on the mantle, all of his idols that he prayed to were ripped off. So he goes, he accuses Jacob, and Jacob says, I don't know anything about it. Go search my tent. And so Laban goes into every tent and basically goes into Rachel's tent. And Rachel said, I'm on my cycle. You can't come in here. And so he didn't go in there, and she kept the idols, and they run from Laban, and she leaves with baggage that Laban didn't even know about. Anybody ever get married and find out there's baggage with your husband? Baggage with your wife that they took from their family that you did not even realize was there? Listen, sometimes, don't look at me in that tone of voice, but the reality is most people, they want marriage counseling before they get married. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work. It's not engagement counseling. It's called marriage counseling. And you don't even know what marriage is for the first 6 months. The more intimate, the more close you get with somebody, the more stuff shows up. Can I have a witness on that? But we can begin to point our fingers at each other. The fact of the matter is we're not coming apart. We're not being driven apart by differences. No, we're actually coming together because the stuff is starting to come into the surface that was not posted on your selfie on Facebook. It's real life that begins to happen. And I'll just tell you this, every single one of us have baggage. Every single one of us walk into this world with baggage. And the Lord, I'm going to say this desperately this morning, wants us to loose the burden of the baggage. Because you're going to suffer for it, I'm going to suffer for it, and everybody else is going to suffer for it. Just living in a fallen world, you understand, we're all going to carry stuff. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I got to die daily. That's why the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Because as we mature in Christ, things are going to come to the surface. Time and time again. What is baggage? Baggage are negative feelings or unprocessed emotions that are affecting our now and also affecting our future. Those are the things of the past. Past things that have happened to us. Us guys are really good about suppressing stuff, though. Just stuffing it down. But I'm going to tell you what, every single, I don't care how strong of a man you are, there's going to come a day when that one last straw is going to break the camel's back. That's why people sometimes get divorced later in life. That's why some people just clock out with their family, living in the same home with them. That's why some people fall into different types of behaviors, is because they suppress the baggage instead of learning how to release it. And listen, we can pick up baggage not only from the past, and there is a past problem that all of us can carry into our future if we don't watch it, but there's also present baggage and burdens that we carry. How many of that single mother that's trying to provide for her children? The guy who maybe made a little bit of money and he's trying to secure his wealth. The poor person that's just trying to make ends meet to put dinner on the table. The person that's just been through a divorce. People are going through things. I always tell Melanie, we don't know. You can't look at people's faces. Some person might be happy on the outside and dying on the inside. And some people might look grumpy and they might be the best in the room. You never know what people are going through. I'm going to go off the radar this morning. I'm going to go off the reservation. I'll never forget, there was a guy by the name of Ray. He came to church here. He was a Satan worshiper, generations of Satan worshipers. Like three generations, I knew the whole family, three generations of bona fide Satan worshipers. He gets saved. He gets filled with the Holy Ghost. He gets delivered. He gets baptized. And he said, Dan, I feel like I've got to do something else. I've messed up my life. He said, I feel like I need to have a funeral. How many of you know a baptism is a funeral? The old man's being buried and the new man's being raised. But he said he felt when he went home there, he needed to do something else. And so I went over to Ray's old trailer and he dug a hole and he threw all the stuff in it that reminded him of his past, and we covered it up and he put a tombstone made out of particle board and it said, this is where old Ray exists. This is the gravestone of old Ray. He left that baggage. A little bit later, my heart just broke for his kids. Hannah, Lord help me. His wife that had left him was pretty evil. Everybody, I don't glorify the devil, but you know people can have demons, right? So she was packing critters. Can we just say that, right? She had goonies, right? And so I run into her, me and Melanie do, in Hymera, and she runs up to me and she says, have you heard the good news? And I said, no, what? She had her two kids with her. She said, Ray died. I said, the Lord rebuke you. But I looked at the two kids behind her, and I thought, does anybody know what they're carrying in their lives? I mean, I could lead them down the Romans road of salvation, right? But the compounding interest of the assault of the enemy upon this broken society and this broken generation is going to take a bunch of Holy Ghost people that are willing to get real with the baggage that people are carrying. And it's going to have us being transparent enough to let people in our house and help us clean up. What a Amelia and Nevaeh and I's favorite show, and I've mentioned it before, is Hoarders. And so these people, they're like college professors. And the yard's mowed and the house looks great, but they never let anybody in. I know some people that put up a facade. Everything's fine, everything's great, but they're never going to let you in because you're going to see what's happening inside of the house. Inside of the house, you walk in and it's like a junk-a-lanche. And they look at Granny and they say, Grandma, don't you know that you could go to sleep tonight and all those dolls could fall on your head and suffocate you? How do people get that way? How does that even happen? But you go back and here's this old man whose house is packed full of toys. You got a stuffed monkey with cymbals, but the rats have ate its ears off, but it's still worth something to you, right? You know? This is not normal. Can we say it? This is not normal. You know why he did that? He filled his house full of that stuff because when he was a kid, he went through the pain of never having a toy. So rather than dealing with that wound, he tried to cover it up with a natural thing to pacify the lack that he was going to feel. The parent, this is the hard one, the parent who lost a child. The woman whose husband passed away or went through a divorce, and they surround themselves with all of these mementos and all these things and HGTV shopping and all they're doing in their desire to hide or their desire to take care of the baggage, they only build more baggage. Some people go to these inanimate objects because it's actually something they think they can control, because everything else in their life is completely out of control. It never ceases to amaze me how people that are completely out of control are always trying to control everybody else. Because they feel out of control. They're in survival mode. And they go from church to church, job to job, friend to friend, fad to fad, without any stability in their life. And that inanimate object or that thing, it's a consistent. If you look at it from 40,000 foot view, the people say, I know, I need to clean it, I know. That's why I haven't been letting you in the house and all that. And then you begin to take that one thing. Oh, that's worth something. Seriously? The person that remembers what it's like as a kid to be hungry, now they got 187,000 boxes of macaroni and cheese in their house? Like, really? It's not a problem of lack. It's a problem of love. It's a problem of not being transparent. It's a problem with not feeling like they're accepted. And God, I believe right now, I had a vision years ago, and I shared it with us a time back, that I heard Jesus say, Danny, I'm taking you to a new place. And so I packed up all my bags, and I'm standing on the side of the street, and Jesus pulls up in a Mini Cooper, and my bags don't fit. And he said, I'm taking you to a new place. I'm not taking all your stuff. Anybody want to go to a new place in the Lord? A new place in life. A new satisfaction, a new joy, a new peace, a new relationship. Let's go, but you can't bring all that stuff with you. I didn't think I had any. I thought mine was pretty limited. Sometimes, you know, especially us guys, I'm going to pick on myself. I don't know how to process my emotions sometimes. Sometimes Melanie will say, what you thinking? And I'm actually not thinking anything. Is that possible, ladies? Yes, it is possible. What are you thinking, Dan? Chrome. Just chrome. Is it a motorcycle? No, just thinking about chrome. You know this? And so, I'm speaking tongue in cheek right now. I fast. I pray. I read my Bible. I lay hands on the sick. I go to church as much as anybody in here except for Trish. I got a call from God to come here. And I don't have baggage. Self-deception is the easiest thing to do. In going through hard times in my life in the last 12 years, I didn't have time to deal with certain things because other people had needs and other people had things, and I was trying to help people with, there was the death of my spiritual father, Chuck, and the network was laid at me and Bob Houselman's hands, and the debt and making sure to bind up the broken wounds of the family and keep the church together. And many times Melanie would look at me and say, we'd sit in our bed and say, she'd cry. I wouldn't. She'd say, I miss my pastor. I miss Chuck. I'm like, I know I do too. You know what that is? I do too, but I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the pain of it. Suppressed, compartmentalized. There's nothing I can do about it. What was, he's in heaven. It's over. Rational. Going through hard thing with people dying of COVID and the stupid masks and the pressure of the vaccine. Half people saying you can't have church. Half people saying you can't have church. Seeing families divided because of this stupid stuff. Can I say it? And just, you don't know how you're wearing it. And I walk home one day and I had taken my picture. There was a picture of Chuck leaning over my back and pointing like into the future. He was actually showing me some things he was discerning in a conference that we were doing. And I had to take it off the wall. We had done some rearranging and I had set it somewhere. And somehow Melanie or one of the kids or something put a scratch on it. And I melted down like a hoarder. It's like, this is all I have left of him. And I didn't even know what I was feeling. I'm crying, I feel like cussing, and then I realize this. Listen, I had never given myself the time to grieve the death of somebody that went on to be with the Lord. I never had the time. There's like a guy had one time seen a couple of ducks crossing the road, and one of the ducks, the partner, the female, got hit by a car. And the other duck should have went to the other side of the road, but it kept going back and forth and back and forth. It couldn't move forward because of the past, but it knew it had to move forward for its own survival. And that's where some of us are. We're stuck here. We don't know how to process what we've been through, but God is desperately telling us, you can't do anything about that and you've got to move on. But there's a process that has to happen inside of us for it to happen, for us to be able to do it. One thing I'm so thankful for, dear Lord, help me. I just want to say this. The devil would love for us to have a vagabond spirit. A vagabond spirit is always packed with their baggage and never has a home, never can find home, never has a safe place to fully unpack the things of their life. And I do want to say this, and I hope I can say it to whatever degree. I don't want to mean arrogant because I don't even know myself as well as the Lord does. How many of you know that? But I pray this is a judgment-free zone in this church because everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got stuff. And sometimes we don't even know. I gave my story because I'm going to say this. Sometimes you don't even know what you're carrying until there's a trigger, until it comes to the surface. And it doesn't come to the surface to reveal that you're weak or that you're insecure. That it comes to the surface because it's that time when God wants to deal with it. It's that when it comes to the surface. Now, it's real easy when things come to the surface to go to the flesh and to blame it on others. It's because of this person or the
the husband or the wife that you gave me, Lord, and all of these different things. But the fact of the matter, I believe for our fellowship right now, the Lord says now is the time. One of those greatest scriptures in the Bible is where Jesus in Matthew, he says this, Matthew 11. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and in me you will find rest for your souls. Everybody just take a deep breath. Is that true? Can I come to him? Is he actually able to do that? Well, coming to him, it goes back to the point where we got to be willing to be vulnerable with the Lord. You know, deliverance sometimes looks like different things, but you know, the reality is sometimes it's not like God. If it was me, when it comes to a hoarder's deliverance, you know what I'd do? When they weren't at home, I would pull up the trash bin, I would fill that thing full, and for me, just in the flesh, you know, forgiveness would be easier than permission. Because I'm only trying to help them. They'll get over it. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus shows up and he says, this thing you're struggling with, will you give me this? Can we work on this? Dan, why did that picture mean so much to you? It's because I never got a chance to grieve. I felt like it was the only thing left I had of a relationship. And that is not true. How many know that's a lie from the devil? That's so crazy. Come unto me. Can I say the dirty S word up here this Sunday morning with all the kids here? It's called surrender. Surrender. I have a lady that comes to church here some. Her name's Heather. And yesterday she sent me a message, and she gets prophetic things, and I judge it. And most of the time when you get something prophetic, it's just for you. But when I read it, I'm like, I think this is for us too. And she said she saw whosoever will. And she saw the congregation. And she said she saw all of us having white flags in our hand. And we were just holding these white flags up and we were just waving them to have a good time. So her and her husband James, they grabbed a couple white flags and they joined and we were all just waving white flags. How many know I didn't like that, because white flag means surrender. And I'm not giving up. And I'm not quitting. That's not surrender to the devil. It's not surrender to the lie. It's not surrender to the enemy. It's surrender to the Lord. And sometimes that's harder for very independent people who want it to look like everything's okay when really you're dealing with some things that the Lord needs to help you with. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke. I mean, there's two yokes on us. We're all carriers of something, right? Some people I see come in and yes, they do look so heavy. You know, there's a lot of things I want to be in my Christian life. And there's a lot of things that I am so glad that Jesus is. How many are you glad that he's a king when you see the governments of this world? I'm glad I've got a king and a kingdom that will never end. I'm glad he's a healer. I'm glad that he is the great physician. I love that. I love that he's a father. And I love that Jesus is my elder brother and my best friend. I need that. But one of the great things that I'm so glad Jesus is in the book of Mark, Jesus is my burden bearer. He says this, he says, cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares so much for you. I can throw it on his shoulders, and I might not feel good in the moment. Sometimes it's a deliverance. So I'm going to tell you what, sometimes it's demonic. Can I just say that? Sometimes we're packing critters because we've listened to the lie of the enemy so long, and we're carrying things that God never intended us to carry. And so sometimes you just got to say, you know what? There is an anointing. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says that the anointing shall, it didn't say break the yoke. If it's broke, I can put it back together. It says that the anointing will destroy the yoke, pulverize the yoke, make it irreparable. The anointing. You have an anointing to be free this morning, and you have an anointing this morning to help set others free. And I'm so thankful that in my liberty that I know that God has an anointing to set me free. He has an anointing to set you free. I also believe that prayer, repentance, and forgiveness will help loose us of baggage and burdens. I say this, some of us need to forgive moms and dads and all that. You know, listen, you can't carry that. It will contaminate your relationships in the future because that wound will be played out in other things in your life. It's like, why are you taking it out on me for what your dad did? Why are you taking it out on me for what your ex-husband? See, we carry this baggage into our next relationships, and in a place of vulnerability, we unpack it. Blah! All at once, and many times, go on and pray. Go for it. Many times we unpack it with people that can't help us. That's why I'm thankful for brothers and sisters. Bear ye one another's baggage. Thus it says, fulfilling the law of Christ. I want us to read Hebrews 12 real quick, and I want to pray for us. Sometimes baggage is simply sin. Our frame was not supposed to carry unforgiveness, worry, strife, transgression, iniquity. Many believe that Hebrews was written by the Apostle Paul. I want to back up again. I want to say something. You know what I want to be, and I want us all to be? Anybody ever go to an... I'll never forget, for the first time I ever went to a nice hotel. In the nice hotel, what happens is they actually take your bags for you. First time they went, I'm like, you don't have to take my bag. You don't understand. It's my job to take your bag. It's my occupation to take this back. And so in the spirit this morning, you know what I want to be? I want to be a bellhop. I want to be a concierge. When I see people coming in with bags, I want to be the one that says, hey, can I help you with that? Can I help carry that? Can I help you unpack that? Can I get you to the room that you really belong in? I see a bunch of bellhops and concierges in the spirit helping people to bear their burdens. And it goes on to say this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. About this time in every year, what I like to do, I'll say every 3 years. How many of you guys got some full barns? I'm just going to go off the radar a little bit. Hey, sweetie, will you go? Will you, somebody help her find her seat? I might run the aisles. Thank you. I found that I accumulate stuff. Anybody been there? And I kind of made a little covenant with myself, a little promise to myself. If I haven't used it in 3 to 5 years, I'm getting rid of it. That is hard. I mean, the first time I said, if I haven't used it, sounds good when I'm sitting in my living room. You know what? If I haven't used it in 3 years, I'm going to get rid of it. And then I'm going to walk in my garage. And my head starts spinning. Green pea soup starts spinning in my mouth. And I hear something say, I'm not coming out. It's not coming out. I'm going to use those speakers someday. I need 5 types of that same type of wrench. Trish says, come out in Jesus' name. Just accumulate stuff because it's going to be worth something someday. And I decided I'm going to purge. I'm going to clean some stuff out. Because we determined to have a garage sale 3 years in a row and never have. And subconsciously having a garage sale just gives me permission to buy more stuff. And so I just said, I'm getting rid of stuff. That's a prophetic act, by the way. It's a prophetic act. You say, oh, that's just a natural thing. This is a spiritual thing. No, I'm doing something. I'm saying, I am spiritually going to get rid of some baggage. I am physically going to get rid of some baggage. And as a prophetic act, I'm going to do this. And so I just started giving stuff away. And if I ask five people if they want a broken spray gun and nobody wants it, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it in the trash. And that's even harder because it's worth something. I mean, it's scrap metal. Well, give it to the scrap metal guy. You're not going to do anything with it, you know. And so I begin to, over time here, I begin to purge. So every year or so, I feel like as a prophetic act, I need to clean out my garage. I need to clean out my stuff as a prophetic act of a spiritual principle that I don't want to carry. I mean, there's no U-Hauls behind hearses anyway. Can I have a witness? You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That's Chuck and Dr. Lemon and my grandpa and my grandma looking over the annals of heaven said, you don't need that. You ain't going to need that where you're going. You're not going to need that where God's taking you. You can't carry that into the destiny God's got for you. And so I'm just believing that right now we're going to lose some baggage. We're going to lose some clutter in our spirit. I actually told me, by the way, I am a number one absolute. Now, don't get me wrong. This is me. This is not your faith. How many of you know God speaks different things to different people? And they're both right if they're following the Lord. It's like God tells you not to wear a tie, then don't tell everybody ties are the devil. Right? That's the extremes that we go to. I dislike fundraisers. Can I say that? Will you forgive me if I say, I'll give to fundraisers, but I'm not going to have a fundraiser. Because I think God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? And I don't believe in being the beggar church. But I do believe in giving people an opportunity to give to something that's worthwhile, right? And so I'll never forget. I walked out of Walmart years ago in Sullivan, Indiana. And as I walked out of Walmart in Sullivan, it was like freezing cold. These kids sitting there, you know, it was raining, it was sleeting, and these kids were selling cookies for their youth group. And I looked and I felt sorry for them. I was about to go give them some money for the youth group and I realized it was my kids. Well, look at those poor pathetic. Hey, those are mine! Walking out of Walmart, nobody wanted cookies. They were just given to the church because they felt sorry for them. Give me all the cookies. Get in, get warm. Don't get the flu. You know, that was. And I said, I don't think that represents the best of God. That we're begging the lost world to do something that God has commissioned us to do. So that's my jaded opinion. But I also do believe that if you have not, because you ask not. And so I want us to pray about this. We're not making any decisions. How many of you would say you got some junk you need to get rid of? Could you make it a prophetic act? Say, okay, I'm getting rid of all this old glassware that was left over from my mother, and I don't want to get rid of it because I'll disrespect your mother. Your mother doesn't care. She's with Jesus. That's hard. And so, as a prophetic act, we declutter. And possibly B, as a prophetic act of us losing our junk this year, we sell it all and give it to the youth so that they can move forward with a camp that they're going to go to, youth events, that we lose our clutter to give them permission to move into their destiny. Just saying, just pray about that. I didn't run it through the youth department or anything like that, so I don't know how much work I'm putting on them